Today's episode is brought to you by DB. DB is a Scandinavian brand that makes backpacks and bags to help people on the move stay ready for anything. From the streets to the peaks, DB's gear is travel tested by some of the best athletes, adventurers, and creators. Over the past decade, DB has designed and developed, released, and refined the best bags in the market. With DB's patented hookup system, you are able to attach smaller products to your backpack, roller, or tote. I can't stress how important it is to have the proper luggage or baggage on your journey. We're teaming up with DB to exclusively offer our listeners 10% off your next purchase by using the code POD10 or going to the link in our show notes. DB, it's time to move on. Time to get going. Have you been in quarantine? Are you ready to enter the wild again? There's a chance no one has seen your coconuts in months. Don't ruin your first post-quarantine date with hairy coconuts. Would you show up to the first day of school without a haircut? Nope. Manscaped is here to provide you with the best tools for your grooming experience. The Lawnmower 3.0 is the best hygiene tool for the modern man. Because of the ceramic blade and advanced skin-safe technology, your snags will be reduced while preparing yourself for post-quarantine life. Manscaped is forever changing the grooming game with their Perfect Package 3.0 Essential Kit. The Perfect Package 3.0 comes with new and improved Lawnmower 3.0, waterproof cordless body trimmer, performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag for you to use when you're done quarantining. The Perfect Package 3.0 also comes with Manscaped Crop Preserver Deodorant and Crop Reviver Toner. The Crop Preserver is anti-chafing deodorant, which ensures your afternoon stroll through the jungle doesn't result in sticky coconuts. The Crop Reviver is a spray-on toner and made with soothing aloe and witch hazel extracts to give your coconuts a special boost. Subscribers to the Peak Hygiene Plan get a new replacement blade refill for your Lawnmower 3.0 delivered to your door every 3 months, making sure your trimmer stays fresh and clean. The light is at the end of the tunnel, fellas. Treat yourself for making it through the quarantine and welcome back to the jungle with a Perfect Package 3.0. Get 20% off plus free shipping with code SLOPDROP at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com when you use SLOPDROP, S-L-O-P-D-R-O-P. Your first post-quarantine date will thank you.
Here comes a slot drop. I can answer that. That's a slot drop. What is that move? That's a slot drop.
Slot drop time. Slot drop indeed.
Welcome back to the Slop Drop. This is Nathan Rogers, and my tag partners for this evening is Bad Luck Wyatt there and the manager of Champion, Stephen E. What's up, guys?
What's going on, Sumo?
Man, I'm digging the shirt. Show that off. Let's see that.
Hey, genius. Yeah, genius Lenny Poffo. You know, I almost would rather have a Frisbee somewhere on there with like a poem. Throwback
a scroll
Lenny Poffo. But hey, you know, genius Lenny Poffo was a big star in the WWF. I love it, man. I just got it yesterday. Pro wrestling loot crate. I don't know the specifics, and I'm not going to plug them because they pissed me off a time or two. But yeah, they put out some awesome shirts.
I don't want to piss Stephen E. off. I've seen a video recently. Right. If I'd have posted that, it would have went viral.
And thank God you didn't. I don't have enough time. You know, I'm already fighting off phone calls from Vince McMahon and Tony Khan. You know, if they saw that video, chances are they would probably go all out to make sure I was on the roster.
That's how you get messed up, homeboy.
That's how you get mucked up, homeboy.
That's the PG version.
Hey, before we get started, big congrats to our buddy Niles Planque, the MSW heavyweight champion. Recently made a list on ProWrestlingStories.com of wrestlers with their own drink brand. Number one on that list, let's just start from the bottom. Number eight was Stone Cold Steve Austin. Number seven was Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Six, Chavo Guerrero. Five was the Good Brothers, Anderson Gallows. Four, Carmelo. Coming in at number three, our buddy Niles Planque and Wendy Wine. Mm-hmm. The only ones to beat him out was number two, Chris Jericho. And number one, the WWE released a wine of The Undertaker and the Ultimate Warrior. But how about that, guys? Wendy Wine.
Yeah, man. Wow. I'm telling you. A lot of people don't understand what I do for Craig Kiesman when we're not at ringside. You know, I'm always working deals behind the scenes to make sure to further his career, further my career. And congratulations to Craig Kiesman. That's a big accomplishment.
Lots of big returns this week, or the past week or so. Becky Lynch, Brock Lesnar, CM Punk. Question for y'all. Who do you think had the more epic debut, Chris Jericho's 1999 WWE debut or CM Punk's 2021 AEW debut?
I know what I'm going to say. I'll let you
see. Yeah, I know what you're going to say. I'll probably agree with you. I'd probably say Chris Jericho's.
Yeah. I'd go on record saying Chris Jericho's was, I'm not taking anything away from what happened on Friday, because I thought that was great. I mean, anytime that, when they cranked out the theme music, you couldn't really even hear what was playing, but you knew it was coming. It was electric. It was awesome in itself. But man, it's hard to top that 99 Jericho debut of the White
Jacket. 74% voted for CM Punk, 26% voted for Chris Jericho.
Wow.
But the comments, several for Jericho, at Too Sweet Pod said more iconic is key. Jericho was on Punk's current level when he debuted in WWF. So I'm going with Punk. At AFCLEM14 said, I love both, but I prefer the way Jericho debuted. The countdown and the theme hits and the name on the screen. Love that. Lots of comments. At Old Brew, taking nothing away from Jericho's, though. That's one of the wrestling moments I still remember vividly from my younger years. He just wasn't away for 7 years teasing people beforehand. Punk played it perfectly. So did Jericho. Thus, different set of circumstances.
You're right. There are, it's a different, it's the same, but different, like that guy had pointed out, Jericho wasn't near the star. He didn't have the star power that CM Punk had on his return. But, I personally, my opinion, I enjoyed the Chris Jericho WWF debut over, Punk's AEW. But again, I'm not going to take anything away from, what they did on Rampage. I thought that was I thought it was great.
When Jim Cornette says AEW did something perfect, they must have did something good, because he's their biggest critic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 100%. I there's a couple of things that popped me, during that Punk segment. The ice cream bars, of course, that was cool. I'd seen the next morning that they had already hit the internet and people were selling them. If you wanted the ice cream, people had those still in the package, freeze dried, shipped directly to your door. They were wanting $300 a piece, and Bad Luck over here found some of the wrappers on eBay for, $50-$60 just for the wrappers, So to say that he stirred the pot a little bit is an understatement. I personally think that it's an exciting time to be a wrestling fan. It's not been the best for the last few, months, maybe the last few years. COVID may have something to do with that. You don't know, or I don't know, but I tell you what, just with everything going on, it's an exciting time to be a wrestling fan.
I mentioned Corny being critical of AEW. I've been pretty critical to them as well. I'm a fan of, I don't dog anybody, especially the wrestlers, because they're just going out there and basically doing what they've been told to do. As you know, so far as gimmick wise, yeah, there's some botches here and there, but that's everywhere. But I can tell you guys, AEW seems to be hitting their stride lately, and yes, I've found myself enjoying it way more than I have in the past year or two. Yeah.
And before you go and talk about how great they are, I will take and pull a little wind out of there. I was reading reports prior to Rampage that the tickets for Rampage were just insanely cheap. So they were doing their best to sell out, you know, the basketball arena.
Right. Yeah.
So you know, I don't know what the attendance was, 15,000 or 16,000 probably, but you gotta give credit where credit is due, in the sense of the next night, WWE had 52,000, you know, people, and it was a hot crowd as well. We can criticize and we can kind of take away from the WWE, but at the end of the day, man, they're still the machine. They're still the monster. And you know, you can't forget that they're the leaders in sports entertainment.
Anyway, I got a lot of good feedback from the poll and some of the other stuff we put out on Twitter. But with Becky coming back, with Edge's entrance at SummerSlam, with Brock's, you know, coming back, and CM Punk, we got to talking about entrances. And one huge big thing about entrance is the theme music. I put together a list of 40, you know, America's Top 40 has music. Sumo Top 40 has some wrestling themes. And I know, and I want you to pay attention this week, Chapman, because I probably left some stuff off. And I want you to come back. And if I left something off and you can think of something, by all means.
As long as American males are in the top five, I think we'll be all right.
Yeah, you're in trouble. But some shout-outs, some honorable mentions. Shinsuke Nakamura, I like his theme music. Jake the Snake Roberts had a killer one. Kane had a good one. The Outsiders, Wolfpack, Scott Steiner, NWO, Bret Hart, Sting's original song.
That didn't make it on there?
Sting's original? What?
No.
With the cowbell?
No. Ming had a cool one. I tell you, Raw, yeah. The theme song of, I can't think of what year it was, but they had a banger. I think ECW, out of all the promotions, probably had the best music, but I didn't put them on here because they cheated a little bit. They use the actual songs by Metallica and Rob Zombie and Alice in Chains and Dr. Dre and Guns N' Roses. And
hey, well, I'm sure Paulie had licenses for all of those hits.
And Chapman, you're going to crucify me over this one, but I was never a big fan of a lot of what WCW put out.
Man, that's a shame.
Because, they ripped off artists. They tried to mimic the exact songs from Pearl Jam, Nirvana, Marilyn Manson.
Oh, well, Diamond Dallas Page. You know,
yes.
And Raven. I guess in the late 90s. I look at the early 90s music.
Well, there was some that made the list.
Yeah. Well, there should be, because I can think of, I don't know, 50 right now that should
be. I can think of one right now.
Yep.
Coming in at number 40, Rey Mysterio's first WCW theme.
Ooh, that is Raven's. I'm not gonna lie. And this is gonna kind of set the pace. I didn't remember that until you said that.
It's
but then as
cut.
Soon as you said it, I said, "Man, okay, yeah, Rey Mysterio. I remember that."
Rey Mysterio coming at number 40. That's the song he came out faced Eddie Guerrero at that Halloween Havoc, which is one of the best matches of all time.
We did a podcast on that match.
Yeah, we did. 39.
Oh, man.
Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Yeah.
How,
I'm gonna go on record and say that might, man, I don't know. I guess we've got 38 more that we need to listen to, but that one, I would have thought that one might have been a little higher.
And it probably should be. I've got some on here that you guys are totally gonna disagree with. And again, all this is subjective, but again, let us know, should it be higher, should it be lower, whatever. Yeah, but number 38, Mr. Perfect coming in at number 38.
And, you know, whenever I hear that, I just, it takes me back to the vignettes that were just so popular that he did, you know, throwing the touchdown passes to himself. Yeah. And they always ended with, you know, with his music playing. Man, he was great.
I guess we should mention we don't own the rights to any of this stuff. And I'm sure it will probably get taken down or edited out. But we are sharing this.
If there's a cease and desist order, if you could send it to the McFoley looking guy right here, Stephen E.
We are sharing this in good faith or whatever that law is called. We're not ripping anybody off. We're actually helping and promoting this stuff. So
yes, we're promoting.
Go check it out. Number 37, the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase.
Yeah.
You know, they teased the Million Dollar Belt on NXT. Looks like that's going to be going away. We talked a little bit about that earlier.
Yeah. Boy, I I tell you what, iconic entrance or theme song. You know, anybody that there was a fan of wrestling in the late 80s, especially WWF fan, is gonna immediately know what that is, because everybody's got a price.
You know, I just think of those classic vignettes.
That's a throwback to, you know, nowadays a lot of the entrances aren't or the theme music, you know, they might just be, you know, a song that was a hit years ago or sung by a major, you know, act in the late 80s, you know, early 90s, it was all, I guess, would you say it was all Jim Johnson and WWE? Yeah.
Johnson did most. I think CFOS or whoever those guys were there for a while. They got somebody new now. Mm-hmm. Number 36. Hey, yo. Yes. The bad boy, Razor Ramon. Actually, think about that, guy. Chico.
Yeah.
It's actually the bad guy, but yeah.
I think the song's bad boy, but it could be bad guy. I know he said bad guy.
Chalk one up for the good guys.
Number 35, those guys behind you, Midnight Express. Man, when you hear this, I know it's very 80s sounding, but it's got just an awesome 80s montage vibe.
Oh, man, yeah. You know, as everybody knows, you know, Bobby just passed away. And man, there was a time, a couple, you know, whenever I first heard that he had passed, man, I just, you know, turn that on, you know, on the iTunes music and just listen to it over and over and over and over again. Man, it especially when they get to that.
I love it.
You know, I love it, man. I immediately think of you know, of Jim Cornette just strutting with that, you know, with that
tennis racket.
And, you know, Bobby and Stan, you know, following suit, or Bobby and Dennis Bobby and Dennis coming through, you know, it just good stuff, man. Good stuff.
It's excellent. Some of these I put on here because not just because that I may or may not be a fan of the character or the persona or the wrestler, but just because the music was badass. Like music I'd actually listen to or go to the gym and work out to, like number 34, Pete Dunne, Cruiserweight.
Yeah.
This is stuff I would rock out to in the truck.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Hey, you know, wrestling music has changed over the years. Now I think, you know, you could listen to it, it would be socially acceptable, you know, like
right.
I still think if you know, if you're back in the 80s and you were blaring, you know, Real American on the tape deck or whatever, you might get a couple of awkward looks from people. Yeah. Like, it's that guy.
He's really got the red, white, and blue running through his veins.
Oh, man. 33.
In the US of A.
When you talk about Jericho earlier, you know, and CM Punk, that pop. Like we can't take anything away from AJ Styles when he, you know, debuted for the WWE at that Royal Rumble, man. That crowd was insane. And you know, and what made that cool is that nobody knew AJ Styles. You know, like you heard the beginning kickoff and you know, some people are kind of scratching their heads like who and
you know, there was buzz from. That he might be there, but nobody had it wasn't leaked for sure. And then the song hit, nobody had not heard the song before, so they didn't know who it was.
Well, and of course, it was
phenomenal. They're like,
yep, but at the Royal Rumble, you know, I mean, that's one of the gimmicks behind the whole concept is you never know who's going to show up, and you know, it could have been, you know, Iron Mike Sharp. Well, I guess it could have been Iron Mike Sharp, but you know, it could have been just about anybody. And, you know, and it's still cool that they use it, you know, to this day. Cause I like the tune. It's catchy.
Coming in on my number 32. Shock the system. Undisputed Era.
See, that's another one that you could just, you know, listen to in your truck. Mm-hmm.
There's some bangers.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Some of these, when I was making the clips, I was like, I just listened to a little bit more than I should have, but I made all the clips a little. 31.
Go ahead and put that on repeat.
31, Aleister Black when he was in the WWE. Now, his new AEW song's good too, but this is one
I can't think of it. I can't think of his new AEW song or his new entrance, but I tell you what, man, like, I think we talked about today, actually. I think he's better.
His entrance.
He's better in the first 30 days or first 30, 45 yep. days than he was ever in WWE. He's just, he's more believable, I guess.
Yeah. NXT used him properly, but it's like once they leave NXT and go to one of those other brands, it's like rest in peace.
And it's almost like a death sentence, you know? I mean, at what point did you think that staying on the territory or the developmental, side of things, Finn Balor, of course, and even Samoa Joe, it's like, did they get like promoted when they got sent to that brand? Cause it's, it seems to be, strides ahead of the competition when it comes to WWE.
Number 30, I've got a tie. It's the same guy, but he had multiple songs. Triple H.
Is this on? Yo, Jimmy hit me with that Triple H.
Yeah.
And then his other one.
Time to play the game.
Play the game.
I like both those songs. Which one of those you like best?
I like the game.
I like the game. That's vintage Triple H, I guess, is the way that they might put it.
We saw this guy have a badass entrance Saturday.
You think you know me?
Edge coming in at 29.
I don't know. Anytime you hear it, there was a period where I think I was just real critical of anything he did. I didn't.
I know Chapman hates him.
I don't know if I necessarily thought that he should be on the level of the top guys. The more that you see him, come out and work. The more it's like, I think he belongs, man. I think he's a good gatekeeper for anybody that's coming through.
Did you pick up on the Kenny Omega, the reference he made on Dynamite?
Yeah.
You think you know me? He was talking to Christian.
Oh, I didn't see. Yeah, I didn't pick that up.
I will say, for as much as I don't like Edge, when he came out to the Brood,
oh, that was
team, cool, I popped. That was awesome. Pretty cool.
I read something about that. He said that creative was really, give him a hard time. He wanted to do the blood and whatnot. And, they really pressed. I guess he ended up going with Black Blood, maybe, or something. I'm not sure exactly, but it was pretty cool, man. I like the Brood, man. I like the Brood.
I do too.
Very nostalgic.
Similar to number 30, Triple H. Number 28 got a tie. Same wrestler, but he had two different – a lot of these had two different themes. But this one, I like both of these versions of this song. Bray Wyatt, we're going to go with Fireflies. I mean, that was just different, unique. You got Chapman sitting there looking just like him.
Or rocking.
Rocking, yeah.
My all-time probably favorite entrance.
Better that than one this right one?
That one. That was the Fiend right there, wasn't
it's
it?
The Fiends.
Yeah.
No, I like old Bray Wyatt when he came down with the lantern at the rocking chair.
I like that persona better than the Fiend.
Yeah.
But I think this song, when he was the Fiend, I think that just kicks ass. And I used to love to go to the gym and blare that when I was working out. I had mixed emotions about it. I wanted to give it a chance. I wanted to like it. It kind of got silly towards the end. When I start doing the hocus pocus stuff.
Now that he's gone, he can go and do his best to try to get past that. We now have Alexa Bliss to look forward to each and every Monday.
She needs to drop that now. I mean, it makes no sense now.
To your Wi-Fi network.
Oh, you said Alexa.
Alexa, cancel. Alexa app.
Yeah, that's too. A forbidden word.
Coming in at 27. Hollywood Blondes.
Yeah.
I love the Hollywood Blondes. I love their
right there
intro music.
I was just watching with Dynamite, you know, and they were showcasing, you know, Pillman, and man, I just that kid's money, boy.
Yeah.
I mean, he just with that haircut, he just reminds me of his dad.
I could I could see him possibly jumping ship someday. Either way, you're right. He's a star no matter where he goes. 26. Number 26 is it's different. not different, but I think it'll be a surprise to everybody. It's going to be Sid, but it's his fifth version of his song in WCW. I just liked it, man.
Oh, it's like, man. Yeah.
When you see a big badass dude walking through the ring, you picture you music like this, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I always liked the Psycho shit.
Yeah. With the Norman Bates.
No, it's great right there. That, you know, as soon as it started, when you said fifth version, I'm like, oh boy, what is it? It's getting deep. And then as soon as it hit, man, I remembered it. And I was like, yeah, that's good stuff.
I liked it.
When it comes to wrestling music, I mean, why wouldn't you want to come out with something like that, especially if you want to be a big imposing badass?
Right. Yeah. Number 25, staying with WCW. See, Chapman, I'm giving WCW some love.
Some.
He's not very happy
with that right there, son.
Love it.
Let's hear about it, how this should have been top three. Come on, let's hear about it, Chapman.
Top three?
Not my book.
I don't know. We're going to see if Arn Anderson's music's on.
Oh, geez. I really like Arn
Anderson. Well, you might be disappointed. This is another be a shocker to people. Again, not because I'm necessarily a fan or not a fan of who it is, but I just like this song. 24, Dan Severn, when he was in the WWF.
Kind of like somebody whipped that up in a garage.
I like it.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying it just doesn't.
Anything about Dan Severn in the WWE.
If we ever are doing
a panel
or con, and he's there, I'll make sure to remind him.
So yeah, he was great in the OC, but
bad mother trucker.
Yes, sir. I wouldn't, you know, like
run.
Yeah, you run.
Number 23 may not be a good person, but he had a dang good song, and I don't know if we'll ever see him in action again. Marty Scurll, the villain, used it in ROH, used it in New Japan.
Yeah, we won't see him.
Probably won't see him, but man, I love that song.
Yeah.
Pretty cool entrance. Then the fans would sing along when it comes to the woo-woo. Anyway, the whole song's, you know, again, it's one that you could just go to the gym and clang it into. Just
bump out some iron.
Never in my life heard that.
Number 22, this is the WWE version of Ric Flair. Not that it's a great, you know, song that you just cruise around to listening to, but anytime you hear this song, whether it's Space Odyssey or a commercial, who doesn't think of Ric Flair?
Yeah. If you don't, it's funny because you said Odyssey, you know, like, I don't think of that. You hear that, you hear those horns kick in and immediately think Ric Flair, you know, that is Ric Flair.
Yep. Number 21. Again, if you're sitting in a high school in May and you hear this.
Awesome circumstances.
And you don't think of Macho Man Randy Savage, then you're not a wrestling fan. But yeah, every time I hear this song, man, instantly think of Macho Man Randy Savage.
Yeah. I like the song. I think it's a great song. You know, it just in the 80s. You know, I hate to say it because when I hear that, I don't just think of Macho. I think of Elizabeth.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a combination of them two. Whenever I hear that, but yeah, good stuff, man.
Cracking my top 20, one of the versions he had, The Undertaker. Again, when you hear this,
oh man, you know immediately.
No, immediately, and you just think of all those iconic entrances he made. It may have took him 10 minutes to walk to the ring, but they're all pretty awesome.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, the great thing about his music and his intro was, you know, that was kind of the stepping stone to making the main roster, you know.
Yeah.
I know Punk was, you know, Punk was one of the druids that at WrestleMania, yeah. You know, I think everybody that has, you know, has seen success has been a druid at some point in their life, you know.
You taking notes, Chapman, on what I've not mentioned yet?
Yep. He's ready to he's gonna let you have it.
I'm gonna unleash 19.
God.
No chance. That's what you got.
Who hears this and doesn't think of that strut?
Oh man, you know, I'm surprised that Conor McGregor, you know, Mystic Mac hasn't tried to get the license to use that song in you know, come out to that UFC. Wouldn't that be something? He's already stole the strut, you know, he might as well steal the song.
When you're at a WWE event and you hear this song, you're gonna stand up because Vinnie Mac might be walking out.
Man, I tell you what, there is a video from, I believe, about 2007. John Cena's dad promotes in the New England area, and he was doing an independent show, and John Cena was, you know, the ref or something, you know, for their main event or whatever, and you know, it got a little squirrely, and things started to get out of hand, and all of a sudden, you know, you hear that. You know, no chance. And McMahon made a very rare independent, independent, appearance. And yeah, it was pretty cool. But hearing that, you know, and then the crowd went just absolute, you know, apeshit. And when you think about it, gosh, I mean, that song's, you know, 23, 24 years old, man. And I could still see myself listening to it, you know, today.
Yeah. Number 18, another tie, another guy with two different songs. John Cena, Doctor of Thugonomics, Word Life.
So, you think you're untouchable?
Word Life. This is basic thugonomics.
This is what put Cena on the map when he was come out and do the raps and stuff. And then, of course, what 6-year-old doesn't know this song?
Yeah.
Am I necessarily a fan of it? Not really, but when I hear it, dun, 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 that's what I do. So it made the list. You know, he's never been like my favorite, but I have appreciated more the last few years than I have his whole career. And he does a lot of really good stuff for charities and
Make-A-Wish
Foundation. Yeah. Number 17, I think Chapman will be pleased.
That's his
WWF song.
Yeah, or WWF. Yeah.
So if Chapman was going to be pleased, it would have been the WCW song.
He'd still be pleased.
Hey, I
stated last week.
I don't know if you noticed the demeanor change when you said you might be a little disappointed that Arn Anderson. It's like he immediately just flipped the switch and went from happy-go-lucky to.
I like Arn's song. Don't get me wrong.
Arn's song. Good, yeah.
Obviously.
16. If it wasn't for these guys, they were the first to have entrances. They're probably the first to sing their own entrances. From Bad Street, USA, the Fabulous Freebirds. This is way ahead of its time.
Oh, way ahead of its time, man. Way, way ahead of its time.
Hey, man, me and Stephen E. got a live concert. With those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Hall of Fame.
Yep. He went into the Hall of Fame. You know, I don't know how much they showed on the network, but, you know, he was out there for 6 or 7
minutes. Yeah, they did the whole thing out there, yeah.
Did they? Yeah. It was pretty cool.
Coming in at number 15, Ultimate Warrior.
Man, wait. You see, this came in a day and time when you know, if you had this, you know, you were standing there in front of your television while the Ultimate Warrior came out with your, you know, your tape cassette player, you know, holding it up against the TV so you could get it recorded on your cassette.
Hang on, let me blow myself up while I'm running to the ring.
Yeah, yeah.
But, well, the good thing is, man, it's only lasted about 3 minutes, so.
The fact that he was
that bad in that 3 minutes just says it all.
You know, there's not a lot of people out there that have good things to say about him, you know.
Number 14, another guy, wasn't a good guy, but had a good theme song in the when he was in the WWF called Shooter, Chris Benoit. Which is also kind of the theme we use for our theme song. If you're listening to us on Spotify, listen to us on Spotify, iHeartRadio,
any
of the above.
Yeah.
We just
his son's trying to be a pro wrestler. So
I saw that.
David Benoit.
Okay, number 13. We saw his return Saturday. Brock Lesnar.
Yeah. I love it when he comes out, he's jumping, back and forth, bouncing.
I'm a Brock fan. I mean,
Are you a man bun Brock fan though?
He doesn't have a man bun. He's got a little mohawk.
I don't know what that thing is.
That's a Viking tail.
Well, whatever it is.
I tell you what.
Look, Mick Foley, quit busting my balls.
Hey.
Are you a fan of the new Brock Lesnar or not?
You go and tell him how bad it looks.
I'm a fan of any Brock Lesnar. He gets a hard time from the IWC. They call him a part-timer and blah, blah, blah. Listen, he could destroy anybody in that locker room. He's believable. Have you ever heard a story where Brock hurts somebody working with him? Everybody he's ever worked with puts him over, talks about how smart he is as a wrestler and a performer.
Right. So on that same train of thought, are you going to be that guy that goes out there and be like, Brock fucked me up. You know, he's so careless in the ring. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
Did you guys know it was before the pandemic really struck and before he took his last break, he was putting McIntyre over. And there was you could see up on the ramp where McIntyre was supposedly, you know, Brock was down and he had the title. And you could see him yelling at Drew, grab the title, grab the title. Yeah, he was trying to put Drew over.
Yeah, hit me again. Yeah, hit me again.
Yeah.
You know, I you know, there's probably one guy out there that might disagree with you, Braun Strowman. You
know, he got punched in the face.
Well, that's because he was being a little stiff himself, and I think that was a wake up call.
He kind of
rattled his cage a little bit.
Yeah, he was. He just I believe it was not settled down.
Slow down.
I think he changed his tune after that one.
You know what's sad is they never work together again.
Number 12, always a fan of the song and even the, I guess you could say, the faction. The Brood, Gangrel.
Yeah.
Hey, saw Edge use this just Saturday.
Yep. Hot off of the heels of SummerSlam. You know, that was pretty cool, man. When that music hit, that was very cool. I'm glad I wasn't in talks of going to AEW and read something that kiboshed all of his hopes to dreams.
Yeah, poor David Heath.
We're gonna be moving a different direction.
Coming at number 11, it may be a little too high on the ranks, but let's let you guys see The Rock.
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
Let's just say this. That's number 11 right there. The top 10 is going to be very interesting because I've heard a couple of them that may or may not have made my top 10.
Yeah. Well, it's hard, man. These lists are hard.
Oh, it is, man.
But, you know, when I was in high school, when I heard that song, I was cocking an eyebrow up.
Doing your best.
Sunglasses.
I never could get it to go up, you know. So I'd try it, but I'd look foolish trying it because it didn't work.
Speaking of when I was in high school,
Mick Foley never could get that eyebrow raised.
Vader He may have had trouble with one of those eyes too, trying to raise his key.
Yeah, the one that popped out.
Yeah. Speaking of doing silly things in high school, these guys made me do a lot. Number 10, DX.
Are you ready?
Who didn't get in trouble for the old crotch chop?
Oh, man. Yeah, you know, I wore
a DX shirt to school that said suck it on the back of it, and they made turn it inside out.
Of course they would.
Of course they would. Chapman.
Years ago, back when Road Dogg and Billy Gunn were reintroducing the New Age Outlaws to the WWE, I want to say it was about 2012, maybe, give or take. I took my daughter to the house show that they had here at JQH in Springfield. And, you know, of course, I told her, I'm like, hold your hands up, you know, hold your hands up like this, you know, and she did. And you know, we'd gotten some tickets and we were right along the aisle. And you know, Billy Gunn walks by and he goes, you're not even old enough to know who we are, or something along the lines of that. And you know, when they did the match, where we had one of the photographers or one of the guys take pictures come over, it was like, hey, you know, come over, we're gonna get a picture, you know. And I don't know, somewhere on the internet, I'm sure there's a picture of my daughter, 5 years old, and Billy Gunn, you know, doing
that's
awesome. yeah, suck it, you know, yeah.
Well, we've made it through the top, or to the top 10. That was number 10. Number 9, CM Punk.
Yeah.
Cult of personality, yeah. CM Punk.
Man, you can't take anything away from that, man. I mean, like, you know, it's weird to think that you know, because I remember I want to say that song came out in you know, 87, 88, 89, give or take. And it was a cool song back then, but you know, when Punk started using it for, you know, his WWF entrance, you know, I'm sure that who is Cult of Personality, who sings it?
In Living Color.
Living Color. Yeah. You know, I'm sure that they appreciate all the extra royalties that they got.
Yeah, they're like Lee Greenwood, man. Yeah. Every time the 4th of July comes around, he's like, cha-ching.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Get it.
Number 8. What have I become
now
that I
betrayed everyone? Now we're talking, right, Captain?
Judas, Chris Jericho, AEW.
I like Fozzy.
I do too, man. I think it's cool that you know, when they cut the music off, that the crowd is still,
yeah, I mean, you
know, like continuing it.
Thousands, you know, of people singing, you know, this gimmick song.
You didn't realize, because it just started to gain some momentum, you know, prior to, you know, COVID, and then COVID happens and basically shuts wrestling down for, you know, for 15 months or whatever. And man, I think everybody was just chawing at the bit, you know, to be able to do that kind of stuff. Like, you know, heck, I want to do it. I can't wait till the next AEW show that we attend that we can, you know, we can sing that.
I freaking dig that song though. And staying on Chris Jericho, I've got him at number 7 as well.
Yeah.
I love the Y2J song, Break the Walls
Break
Down.
Break the Walls Down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That you know, that was it, you know, whenever that first dropped, I could have swore it's like, that's Rage Against the Machine, man. That's so Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah.
And of course, back then, you know your big acts or whatever, they didn't loan their music to the world of professional wrestling, you know. Right. It seems like the last 15, 20 years, it's gotten easier to get the licensing or to get that kind of stuff done. But before, you know, we didn't have that. All we had was old Jim Johnson.
I like that song. It's one kind of make you bob your head too, whether you're watching wrestling or driving down the road.
Yep, very iconic.
Number 6. You guys know it yet?
Oh, I know, but I'm waiting for you. Yeah.
Here comes the smasher. Here comes the Demolition, number 6.
Yeah, that's good stuff right there, boy. That takes me back to being a kid.
Put that on a crack, dude.
I don't know where they fall on most people's top tag team list, but man, they're definitely, you know, top five, you know, top five tag team for me.
And kind of staying on track with top tag teams, my number five would be LOD and WWE.
What a rush. I went and looked at a couple of top, you know, top lists before we went on or before we got together, and you know, there was one that I was watching and I could not believe that they didn't, you know, they didn't have them. So I'm glad that they made top 10 at least.
Hey, dude, because
that means we're on the same page.
I got them two times in my top five. I got them as the Road Warriors too in NWA.
Yeah. I mean, you know, everybody knows Road Warrior pop. You know, to get
exactly.
the Road Warriors pop, you got to have the music. You know,
exactly.
The music, everything.
I remember, what was it, SummerSlam? They rode the Harleys out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you hit that, oh, what a rush. And here they come, all three of them mm-hmm. down the aisle or whatever. Like
that's one of my arguments. If anybody wants to debate why they're in my top five, two times. One,
yeah,
LOD and WWF. And two, that whenever the Road Warriors, going back to that Road Warrior pop. I mean, when it's so popular, there's a name for it.
Term, yeah.
It's hot.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's kind of like the Road Warrior pop and Sting Money. You know, everybody talked about Sting Money back in WCW, you know, and there's a reason why.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back to WCW, my number three. Hollywood Hogan, Jimi Hendrix's Voodoo Child.
Yep. Oh yeah. Yeah.
You know, everybody knew who Jimi Hendrix was, but how many people knew of this song before Hogan started coming out to it?
Oh man, I thought I did. I always loved when, you know, when Hogan would come out with the belt and, you know, strum the belt and go and in fact, you know, that was one that they took and they tweaked it a little bit and put the
new order.
You know, they added some, you know, some stuff to it. And yeah, that's just good stuff right there, boy.
Heck yeah. And that's a song I'll just love, you know, in general. Mm-hmm. My number two, going to stay with Hogan. I am a real American. Is he a good person? Maybe not in everyone's eyes. Is this song great?
Oh, not
great, but when I hear it, The
you should have had the WCW one title.
No, I hate the WCW.
He's got the red, white, and blue running through his veins.
That's hideous.
So I have a pretty good idea of what the number one will be. Now that we've zipped through 39 other ones, I'm gonna look over here at my tag team partner.
He was born and raised.
Fun fact about Real American: he wasn't the first to use it. Do you guys know who the first?
The first to use it was actually the U.S. Express, right?
Yep. Bingo. Barry Windham and Mike Rotundo.
Mike Rotundo, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. I would say that the number one, I think, would be.
Let's just find out who number one is.
Glass is going to break. Yep. That's exactly what I was going to say.
Man, how can you not consider that? You
know, it's got to be. It's got to be in somebody's top five at least, but it's probably my number one, just simply.
It's up there with the most recognizable.
If you had to put the proverbial, you know, Mount Rushmore of entrance music, that's going to be the George Washington of everybody's Mount Rushmore.
Okay, Chapman, I know I left Arn off. It's not because I don't like the song. It's just hard to wedge it in there. I do like the song, but when you start trying to Harlem Heat, they were considered.
They were considered.
Okay. Oh, we're not done.
We've yet to even get started. Oh, good.
Don't bring up American Males.
That one's called YouTube. I still don't know who it is.
I know it's American Males. Oh, it's garbage. It's the worst song in wrestling history, if not songs in history in general.
Well, you know, I get coming. Oh God! Thank you, Chapman. Now for the next like 3 hours until I go to sleep, I will not be able to get that tune out of my head.
If I could quote Rick Rude, "Cut the music, Chapman."
Cut the music, Chapman.
All right, hang on.
Yeah.
Sid. Right.
Is that Pretty Wonderful? Oh, the Vader song from WCW. He had a couple different ones. He had a few different ones in WCW. I like the WWF one better though. I'm sure YouTube's going to take this whole episode down.
Yeah.
But fair use. We're doing this in fair use.
Fair use. That's exactly right.
There you go.
Oh gosh! Welcome to Pity City, Nasty Boys.
That's where I was trying to pull up right there. Hey, John. Yeah, it's hard to say that in Chapman's eyes that
what about Kurt Angle?
That's a good one too.
That's a good one.
Or the Patriot, I guess.
But would you actually listen to some of those in public? Would you listen to the Nasty Boys?
See, I don't know. Like, I think our taste in theme songs and our idea of what the podcast is different. You're more of a what would you listen to outside of? I'm more of what is a theme song like? What does that represent? What do you first think of? And like with Kurt Angle, that You Suck. Like, how could you not just hear that and think of it? American Males, Sting with the cowbell.
I still can't believe you said American Males. I bet you 99% of wrestling fans would not include American Males.
Well, then that shows how smart 99% of wrestling fans are.
No.
Then you've got Pretty Wonderful. You know what about?
Here's the thing: we're talking about songs. We're not talking about just because we like them, not because we like the character. Songs,
They go along.
But some of them suck, though. American Male song sucks.
Jim Duggan
sucks.
Didn't.
Yeah, it did. I like Jim Duggan.
Didn't? It was just him saying ho, right?
Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun.
No, I tried to use
One of these days, guys, whenever I break off and have my own podcast and can actually do this with people that have a higher IQ than 7.
Unluckiest podcast.
I won't forget about you guys.
Oh, my gosh.
I won't forget about you guys.
Hey. I'm telling you, if you go back and you look, it was like a light switch happened. As soon as you said Arn Anderson,
on the list, it was down.
It was like,
how about this? How about no? Look, you know what? I've got one more.
Oh,
okay, that
God.
You cannot, that nobody can
argue.
Nobody can argue.
Oh boy,
he's Jamie in it.
I think it's this one.
Oh, Natural. Dustin Rhodes. You know, I almost put that on there because I knew you'd bring this song up.
I love that song, man.
You would put The Natural in your top 40?
He'd put The Natural in his top 15, I think. I've actually caught him listening to that a time or two.
Yeah, that's a good song, man.
Yeah. And it actually flows with the type of music that he listens to.
Disco Fever? Gosh. You know,
So, Arn Anderson approve of Disco Inferno?
No. Arn Anderson slapped the taste out of Disco Inferno.
What about you, Stephanie? What did I leave off that should be on the list?
Boy,
besides the obvious that I've already answered.
Besides the obvious that you've already answered. Let's see.
You do this for fun. I do it for ratings. You know, if I did the top 40.
If we put the American Males or the Nasty
Boys. This thing would ratings. Go aluminum.
Yeah.
We left it off, but I actually really, I don't know the name of it. The name escapes me. Not that I may not have ever even known the name, but Niles Plunkett's theme music. I really like that. You know?
It fits him perfectly too.
Yeah, it does. It fits. You know what I love about, in wrestling, music is only part of the equation. What you do, your manners of getting in the ring. From the first time I seen him do it, I just thought that is effing gold, man. When he walks in and he does that little spin and he takes his nose and thumbs it up to everybody. I love that. I think it's great. Niles Plunkett would be an honorable mention, in there. I really enjoy that one. But gosh, I mean, you hit on a lot of them like your top 10 was pretty spot on for me. Did you have the Hart Foundation in there somewhere?
I didn't. I threw an honorable mention, though, before we started.
Okay, so they were in honorable Hart
Foundation.
At least
Bret Hart's you know, Hart Foundation was good too, but when Brett went singles, he had a slight variation of the same song that I liked a little bit better.
And of course, you know, as everybody knows, I'm an old school WWF guy. So, you know, you got, Brutus Beefcake, you know, with the shears. You know, that was pretty cool when growing up. You know, the Rockers, that one was a cool one. But, you know, for the most part, I think that your list will get a passing grade for me. I don't know about from our tag team partner over here, the third wheel.
Chad was disappointed. Oh, what if I would have squeezed Arn somewhere into the top 40?
It would have been better.
It would have been real good if he'd squeezed
into the top. Well, he used that horseman theme that I played in his later years.
You know, most of the time he did. I'll give you that. You know, he did.
But, yeah.
You know, whenever I think of theme songs, I think of what would I hear today that would just like boom, instant from my childhood. You know, whether it's cool or not.
Yeah, I try to do kind of a combination.
Well, let's take a step back and look at it from the perspective of current theme, you know, current music, you know,
current music sucks.
There's some good ones.
Some that are all right. You know, of course.
You know, honestly, I'm surprised you didn't have Shawn Michaels on there.
You know.
Which version, Nick? You could have put one of the two versions somewhere.
When I hear the song, I think HBK. But when I think of the song, I'm a Sexy Boy. I can't get into singing I'm a Sexy Boy about another man.
Another thing is I liked Mick Foley's.
The car wreck
screech
and then speaking of Mick Foley, hey, wait a second. Mick Foley's ahead of his time with that beard. He's a good looking son of a bitch, though. That's all I got to say. You know, he's ahead of his time. He's a fashion icon. But man, who else is excited? September 5th and 6th, he's going to be in town at the Blue Room Comedy. Comedy, you know, club here in Springfield at 420.
I've got to get that South slot.
High Street or something. I can't remember what it was, but
Springfield, Missouri.
Yeah, it's Springfield, Missouri.
I got to get that slop drop shirt in the mail.
Yeah,
gotta get that ordered.
You better get the thing coming because we only got 1 week.
Yeah, we're about a week away. Next weekend. That's gonna be a good time. I had the privilege of sitting in and watching him do a panel a few years ago, and I probably, you know, spoken to you guys about it off air, and he really put on a good little show, man. You know, just interesting. You know, you put anybody with his kind of background stories and stuff, and man, you just put me in a room and I'll you know, shut my mouth and, you know, let my ears open up and listen to him, because man, that guy, you know, he is he's definitely one of the best and one of the greats in the business.
We're going to be busy. Got the Foley thing coming up. I had a chance to go to SmackDown tomorrow night, but unable to make that. And I think we're going to make our AEW debut soon as well.
Yeah. Tickets are already secured, you know, so we've got that intact, and it's going to be a blast. We're looking to try to secure tickets for the following evening. Are they doing a pay-per-view?
I don't remember if it's all out or there's something.
Some pay-per-view that they're doing up.
Not on sale yet, but we're going to try to get there.
So it should be fun. We should, rumor has it that a certain former WWE superstar is supposed to make his appearance there, but, you know, I don't know.
TBD, to be determined.
To be determined, yeah. Card subject to change, what I like to say.
TBD. TBD is one of the hottest agents out there. TBD.
TBD.
All right, guys, that about wraps it up. Follow us on Facebook at The Slop Drop, on Twitter at The Slop Drop 1. Check us out on YouTube. Also, wherever you get your podcast, we're probably there. Subscribe to us. Leave us a good rating, a good review. As Hang always, on. Thank you guys for Hang listening.
On. Hang on. We're going to do a shout out to somebody, Matt Stone, who is in St. Louis right now, getting ready to have a big, big major surgery.
Oh, yeah.
Friend of ours, friend of the podcast.
Yep. He's the friend of anybody that is a professional wrestler in the state of Arkansas. You may not know his name, but he is he's one of the people that made opportunity for people like us to be able to go out there and work without having to deal with you know, commissions that are
unrealistic.
That's right.
Get well soon. Yeah, shout out to Matt Stone. Get well soon, man. And also shout out to Bethany McBee. I think she turned 22 this week. So happy birthday, Bethany.
Birthday.
I think that about wraps it up. So till next time, again, thank you guys for listening, and we are out of here.
Goodbye and good night. One, two, three.